from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I'm always happy to know that you're there, that you're listening, that you're praying, that you're just doing your part for this little radio program. My Debbie and I are excited about the message, about the song, about being blessed by God and hoping to be a blessing for the glory of God. Oh, look, friend, look, this is an exciting time, is it not? We've got something to be excited about. Jesus promised before He left that He was coming again, and I believe this with all of my heart, His coming is nigh at hand. Now, I'm not going to preach on the second coming of Christ, though I could, though it would be a good subject to consider. I've got something else the Lord would have me to share with you today, and you can find it if you'd like to read with me in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, right after the book of Colossians, right before the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll read a couple of verses of Scripture there, the Lord reading and share the message with you that I think God has laid on my heart. Hey, can I tell you I love you? Can I tell you that I appreciate you? Hey, listen, friend, I've told you from time to time that it wouldn't do me any good to be here speaking if it wasn't for you there listening. So we're in this thing together. We certainly are. Well, Deb's got a message ready. She's queued up, ready to go. The title of it is, If It Were Not For His Grace, There Go I. Hey, if you don't know the power of the grace of God on your life yet, why don't you submit to it today? I'll be back in the message in a moment.
Were not for His grace, oh, there go I. And if it were not for His grace, I should have bled and died. If it were not for His grace, on the cross should have been me. And if it were not for His grace, I should have died on Calvary. You take a look around at this old sinful world. We are quickly to condemn those who cannot afford. But if you take a look at just what we see, if it were not for His grace, that could have been you and me. Grace.
like that, don't you? Thank God, thank God, thank God for Calvary. And thank you, Debbie. Beautiful song, well done, well written. And, well, I just love you and thank God for you. Thank you that the Lord put you in my life. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading, if the Lord wills. I'm going to read at least verse 5 and maybe down to verse 10. Maybe I'll just stop at verse 5 because we're going to look at the other verses as we make our way down through this message here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul said this. Paul said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes." Let me just stop right there. Like I say, I'll read the other verses as we make our way down through this passage of Scripture, prayerfully by the grace of God, all the way down to verse 10. But I want you to think with me today about something. I want you to think about what the gospel did at Thessalonica. What the gospel did at Thessalonica. You know what it did? It had effect upon them. I mean to tell you, it changed their life. It changed their living. It changed their destiny. It changed their longing and their looking. And oh, what a great thing the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Hey, can I tell you, when the Apostle Paul left Philippi and that jail that he had been imprisoned in with a man by the name of Silas, after that they had been beaten for doing a miracle, for doing something that was mighty and powerful of the glory of God, they delivered a woman at Philippi who had a spirit of divination within them. And oh, look, Paul, by the grace of God, for the glory of God, by the grace of God, for the glory of God, I released her from that thing. Let me tell you something, friend. When Paul walked across Macedonia from Philippi to this great city, Thessalonica, hey, he had one thing in mind. One thing and one thing only. He had in mind what the gospel could do for the Thessalonians, what the gospel would do with that great Roman colony, that great city there in that country of Macedonia and Achaia. Can I tell you, friend, listen, Paul said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." Paul, listen, didn't walk from Philippi to Thessalonica with a bleeding back, friend, just to talk. His message was in power. I'm telling you, it was unequaled power. He fully expected something to happen when he got there. He didn't expect something to happen just as a result of his wisdom or his hermeneutical ability or his oratory ability. Hey, he knew that it must be something done. If anything were to be done, it must be done in the power of the Spirit, in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, friend, that Paul was trusting in. And may I tell you something today? We need to trust in that today. Oh, there's too many men today that get in the pulpit. They know the Word, but I'll tell you what, they don't have any power of the Word. They don't even have the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. Far too many, I'm afraid, and I'm not judging, I'm not trying to be critical, but I am trying to be very honest and preach as God would have me to preach. I'm afraid they get in there, friend, without a calling. They choose the ministry, and I don't know why they would do it as a vocation. But hey, you know what we need? We need men of God who have been called of God with the anointed of God upon them, declaring thus, saith the Lord. Thank God. I want you to know, listen, how the gospel did something. The gospel did something down at Thessalonica. I want you to know the Thessalonians believed the message that they heard. That they heard from Paul and Silas and Timotheus was in reality a message from God Almighty. They knew that although these three men had brought the message of the gospel to them, they knew and understood that it had originated or come from a source other than man in truth. I believe they knew without a doubt that it was a message of God and not just simply the message of men. And you say, why preach it? Because they felt the power. They felt the power of the message that Paul was preaching. And remember, Paul told the Romans, he said, for the gospel, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now look, the words that they were hearing there at Thessalonica, spoken by these three men, were not such that untaught or untrained men could speak, and especially not untouched men. They knew the gospel message was totally unlike anything that they had ever heard. It stood alone. It was unique to them. It was completely different than all other stories that they had heard. And I'll tell you, they concluded that no human imagination could have pictured it. No human genius could have thought it. So they concluded it must be of God. And you know what? They were right. They were right in thinking that way. It could have had no other source than God Almighty. I mean to tell you, within its own message, the evidence of inspiration and divine origin had just dripped all over the place. Now look, those men and women of Thessalonica felt its power within their heart. I mean, they felt that dunamis of God lying within the message itself as it was being declared by men just like them. And after it was preached, it just didn't lie dormant in the heart. They discovered it was not only powerful, but it was living. It did a strange but marvelous work within them with a mighty force. I mean, it drew them by four unknown strange and constraining power. It drew them away from their old self-pleasing life into a new life of faith, of love, and self-denial. And the effect it was having on them, I was proving the message that they were hearing was none other than the Word of God. In fact, if you look over in chapter 2 of this same epistle, verses 13 and 14, you'll find that they declared that very thing. They were so sure that the message they were hearing was not a message of a man. No message of a man could stir their heart, they concluded, as it was being stirred. But look, although the preaching of the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews and to the Greek, it was considered as foolishness. Hallelujah. These Thessalonians who heard it and received that message by faith, and here's the key to this, discovered, friend, for themselves it was nothing but the power of God, nothing more and nothing less. And I want you to know immediately those new believers began to show their faith by their works. I mean to tell you, that infant church of Thessalonica followed the same path the original church had followed and begun to walk when it was first inaugurated on the day of Pentecost back there in Jerusalem. By this new church in that Roman colony in this region of Macedonia and Achaia became followers of Christ. They knew in their changed heart that they now belonged to God. They were for the first time in Christ. Oh, isn't that wonderful? They had become living branches in the true vine. They were new converts immediately who had immediately begun to live like the first Christians in Antioch. They imitated the earliest believers in that new life of holiness that they had been called to. Why, in fact, their new Christian character and the grace it produces, began to be manifest in them in spite of the persecution. In the midst they were saved by. Bless God. Hey, listen. Their newfound faith allowed them to begin new life, which they were experiencing and had been under. They were experiencing, although it had been under patient endurance, although they would be under patient endurance until the Lord would come. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, what the gospel did at Thessalonica. Let me tell you what it did. Thank God. Listen, it birthed the church. Listen to what Paul goes on to say in verse 6. When you became followers of us and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, a church is a called out assembly. I mean to tell you, it's a group of people who put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ and believe by faith that Christ died for the ungodly. Hey, I'll tell you, they knew. They knew immediately they had been called out of an old lifestyle, out of an old manner of life, out of old habits and behaviors of life, and they had become new in Christ Jesus. Listen, friend, what he said in verse 9. They knew that they had turned to God from idols. Isn't that something? They were people. That's what the gospel did at Thessalonica. It turned people who were idolaters, who, friend, were adulterers, who, friend, were unbelievers and deniers. It turned them from their dead idols and the demons that were behind it had to serve the true and the living God. Oh, how wonderful that preaching of the gospel was down at Thessalonica. How wonderful the result of the preaching of the gospel was down at Thessalonica. Not only did they turn to God from idols, but I want you to know, friend, listen, it produced great joy in their heart. Listen to the latter part of verse 6. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something, sir or ma'am? I want to say this as clearly as I can, but without apology. If you're saved, and if you say you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and you don't enjoy serving the Lord, you don't enjoy reading the Bible, you don't enjoy going to the house of the Lord, fellowshipping with His saints, singing the songs of Zion, meditating upon the things of God, learning of Jesus and living like Him, if you don't do those things with joy, I'm telling you, you've got a problem. I wonder even, friend, and that'll be between you and God, you really got a real salvation. Hey, it was in the midst of persecution, in the midst of great persecution, that of Thessalonica that was being brought by their own countrymen. You know what they did? They heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. They accepted the gospel, and they were changed by the gospel. Hey, something happened. Something happened at Thessalonica when the gospel was preached. I want to give you something else. Look, my friend, if you don't mind, at verse 7, where we find they exemplified at Thessalonica what it meant to be a Christian. So after that they had received the word in much affliction with great joy, listen to what it says, they became examples to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Hey, isn't that what God's called us to? Hey, listen, friend, we ought to be able to tell all of our family members, all of our workmates, classmates, friends, neighbors, and even foes that, listen, if you want to go to heaven, you can follow me. Not that they ought not follow Christ, but they can follow us as we follow Christ, or because we follow Him, seek to be like Him, are being conformed to the image of Him. Oh, what a great testimony that they had. Have a listen, it doesn't stop there. I look at verse 8 and see what it says. For from you sounded out the Word of God. I'll tell you, listen, friend, have that message of the grace of God and that good news of the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how blessed God was sounded out by them. They declared it, if you would. They lifted up their voice loudly, unapologetically, without shame. They preached the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He arose the third day according to the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. You know what they did? They trumpeted that out. They not only did it with their voice, not only did it with their lips, but bless God, they did it with their life. And in that, the most important part of this, bless God, they sounded out the Word of God, of God's salvation, of the good news that says, whosoever believeth on Jesus shall be saved. Oh, that's good news, friend. That's good news. And you know what else they did? I look at it in verse 9, if you will. He said, for they themselves shew what manner of entering in we had unto you, how that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. You know what they did there at Thessalonica? They become servants of the one true God. Hey, let me tell you what John said. John said this. He said, for this is the love of God. 1 John 5:3, that we keep His commandments. Now watch the latter part of this. And His commandments are not grievous. Have you ever seen a miserable Christian? I told a church just recently where I have the blessed privilege of pastoring that I preached at a church one time, used the text, miserable Christians, and I haven't been asked back since. I don't know why that was. But have you ever seen a miserable Christian? I have. In fact, I've seen him in a mirror. I've seen myself at times. I'd be miserable. You hear me? I don't have time to preach that. That's a different message. Maybe I'll do it in another opportunity in the days soon to come, the good Lord willing. But I've seen miserable Christians. Do you hear me? They didn't have any joy like I was telling you. And a long time ago, a writer of old said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But John said, listen, this is the commandment that, or this is love, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Can I tell you, if it's grievous to you to do the things of God, to walk like a Christian, to act like a Christian, to talk like a Christian, to desire things like a Christian desires, to behave like a Christian behaves, to go to church, to sing the songs of Zion, to read His Word, to commune with the saints, and to pray, to fast, to seek His face. Friend, let me tell you something. There's something wrong. There's something definite wrong. Listen to what else he said. Look in verse 10. And all this is glorious. They not only in verse 9 turned to God from idols to serve the true and the living God, but they got to the point that their life was all about waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people think that the church is going through the rapture. Some people think it's going through the first 3.5 years of it, or through the tribulation. Some think that it'll go through the whole 7 years of tribulation. I'll tell you what, friend, like I preached not long ago, you can stay here when all that junk starts, but I'm going out before it does, according to the Word of God, in many places. And I'm just going to refer to this one right here. He delivered us as a past tense verb. In the eyes of God, we're already delivered. Hey, it's not here yet. It's knocking on our door. It's standing on our threshold, I believe. And that time of the great tribulation, or the tribulation of the great one. Matthew 24:21, I believe it is. How that Jesus said there'll be none like it after, because there had never been any like it before. But I want you to know, friend, I want you to know, thank God we're going out of here. Hey, they were looking. They were watching for the Lord. And you know what that did? They managed their life in light of that. I mean to tell you, they manifest their godliness in their life, and they're living, as Peter said, and those who have this hope in themselves purify themselves even as He is pure. They were separated Christians. They were sanctified Christians. They were holy Christians. Bless God. They were in the world, but they knew that they were not of the world. Do you know what else they did? They lived out their faith. They lived out their faith. Look at the last part of verse 8. He said, in every place your faith toward God is spread abroad. Isn't that amazing? Everywhere we go, whether it's up a road, down the road, to the doctor, to the store, to the neighbor, to our school, to our workplace, to visit, to commune, to vacate. It doesn't matter where it is. People ought to take note that we've been with Jesus. I mean to tell you, listen, there ought to be something different about us. They ought to see that we're living for Christ, that we're not living for this world. Hey, we ought to live out our faith in everything we do. And let me give you one more thing, and I've got to close. Verse 10 again. He didn't listen to this. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know what it did? You know what the message of the gospel produced down at Thessalonica? It produced, listen, unshakable trust and faith in the hearts and the lives of those men that came under its convincing power, its convicting power, its converting power in bringing them to Christ. And you know what they did? They just simply began to believe in the Bible, live the Bible, trust the Bible, now believe that God's only begotten Son was virgin born, lived a among the sinless, died substitutionally for us, was buried in a borrowed tomb. And on the third and appointed morning, come out from among the dead. And they believed in that great message of salvation because of the resurrection of Jesus. They believed that this same Jesus that had went away, hallelujah, was coming again. Someday can ask you, sir, ma'am, what's the gospel done for you? What's it produced in your life? Listen, it's warning you. I'm telling you, there's a power in it that it's innate. I mean to tell you, you can't deny it. Hey, you can't quench it. You can turn away from it. But bless God, you can't deny the effect that it has on you when you hear the truth as it speaks and says, Christ died for our sin. Now listen, you either let Him die for it or you'll die in it. You'll die for eternity paid for your sin and you'll never get them paid for. Why right now don't you come to Christ? Why right now don't you humble your heart, bow your head, bring a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I need You to save me for Christ's sake so I can live for You until the day I can come live with You. Hey, the gospel down at Thessalonica changed that Roman colony. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that heard it and heeded it, and it'll do the same for you. Why don't you trust Him today while He's calling, while He's near? I pray you do. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.